It's great to look out and see the number we have to worship God this morning. Many of us have enjoyed a lot of blessings this last week as we got to spend time with our families and eat a lot of food and thank God for all that He's doing for us and has done for us. And that was wonderful. But as we just sang, it'll be much more so in the place to where we're going. It will be wonderful there. And it's a great thing to be together this morning to help prepare ourselves for that journey, that wonderful place where our Heavenly Father is. Thank you for being here. I want to tell the young people, the high school and also the college age, remind you, it was in the announcements, but I just want to put a plug in for the class at the Moyers tonight. I think you would enjoy that. We're talking about, letting you talk about some of the issues and things that you had concerns about. And I encourage all those of high school and college age to join in that. I was relieved to find out in reading the results of a survey that was done that I'm not the only one in the world who forgets things. My son last night flew from here back to Houston where he's working a job right now. And it seems that somehow, somewhere, he forgot where he put his truck keys for his vehicle that was parked there at the Houston airport, which also had his house key on it. He's a lot younger than I am. And I'm glad that I'm not the only one who forgets things, although I'm sorry that my son is going through that difficulty. But a survey was done not long ago, and people were asked if they had trouble remembering things and what were the most common things they had trouble remembering. And 83% of people said they had trouble remembering names. 60% said they had trouble remembering where something is. 57% said they had trouble remembering telephone numbers, and 53% said they had trouble remembering words. It's the strangest thing in the world when you're trying to preach a sermon and you have a word in mind that you're trying to call up from your brain and it's just not coming. There's just a blank screen there. And so you have to say about 16 other words to get around. If you've ever done any public speaking, you can probably appreciate that. That happens to me more than I'd like to admit. 49% of people say they have trouble remembering what was said. And so when I ask you tonight what I preached about this morning, and you say, I listened, but I just can't remember, you're in about 49% of the population. 42% of people have trouble remembering faces. And if you can't remember whether or not you've just done something, you join 38% of the population. Well, our memories are precious to us, and we want to retain them. We'd like to be able to remember everything, but unfortunately, that's not the way most of our human minds operate. One of the most fearful and tragic diseases that affects us, our families, and even many of us here, is a disease called Alzheimer's disease. My father passed away with Alzheimer's disease. My mother has it now. The late President Reagan died with this disease. It is, in fact, the number four killer among adults today in America. It's an astounding statistic that so many people will have this terrible disease and eventually die with it. Almost 4 million Americans have it right now, and at least 100,000 of them will die from it or complications of it in this year. We certainly pray for the people and families who've been touched by this tragic situation where a person forgets not only the things that we talked about, the things that we all forget, but forgets eventually everything. And at the last may even forget how to breathe. What a horrible, horrible thing. Where your mind just completely shrinks up and shrivels away. And every memory that you had is gone. And you can call on your mind no longer for anything as far as the functioning of your body is concerned. It's a tragic thing. I'm not sure, though, that most of us as Christians at times do not suffer from maybe a spiritual form of that disease that we might call spiritual Alzheimer's disease, where we forget things that are very, very important. People with Alzheimer's, they have a number of symptoms. In the early stages of the disease, the person may be aware that their mind is going and their memory is becoming more and more unreliable, but they can do little to change the course. Perhaps they can take medicine to arrest some of the progress of it or do certain exercises, but eventually the forgetfulness and the confusion take place to such a degree that a person gets lost when traveling, or they forget where they live, or eventually forget even people who are closest to them for various reasons. It's the case that spiritually we can become confused about who we are, about where we live, about who we belong to. We lose awareness of our relationships. We forget what others mean to us. We have difficulty communicating in ways that are right and good, and we require greater care. We sometimes have to be treated as a child as we actually revert back spiritually to child-level ability. This is spiritual Alzheimer's disease. And it's a tragedy that can be avoided. Unlike physical Alzheimer's disease, which they tell us at least this point in our understanding of the body and science and all of that, there's maybe not a whole lot we can do to avoid it. Perhaps there are some things, but spiritual Alzheimer's is 100% avoidable, preventable. And if you get it, it's 100% curable. So we're talking about something this morning then that is tragic, spiritual Alzheimer's disease, but it's something that doesn't leave us hopeless. It is something that we can overcome if we'll just recognize it and see what the problems of it are and understand that God has given us minds and spirits and hearts to help us go to heaven and go to that place that is wonderful. And He wants us to use these in a way that will do that. But the signs of spiritual Alzheimer's disease, the symptoms of it, are a gradual drifting, first of all. We are aware that we are losing a little bit of ourselves spiritually, but we drift away. And eventually we may drift so far that we cannot even remember who we are or that we once had a relationship with Jesus Christ. In the last part of his life, my father, as I said, had this physical Alzheimer's disease. And it did come on very, very gradually. He would tell me, Steve, I just can't remember names. And I would say, well, Dad, I can't remember names either. And he said, no, I can tell there are some changes going on. And he tried to explain it to me. And I say, well, we all forget things. And I just sort of brush it off. So he was very much aware that something was happening to him. Later on, as the disease progressed over a number of years, he lost that awareness. He thought that he was thinking clearly, when in fact he wasn't thinking clearly at all. He remembered things that didn't happen and forgot things that did. This is very similar to what spiritual Alzheimer's does to us. We, at the first, know that we're drifting. We sit in the pew and we kind of listen to the lesson, but we don't go out and strive to live for Christ day by day. When we take the communion, it's not the close relationship with the body of Christ that we once had. When we talk about spiritual things, the interest just isn't there anymore. We're much more interested in worldly things. And so there's this gradual drifting away. And we don't even realize maybe at first that we're losing ourselves. And then we realize that we do, but we don't care. And then finally, we lose ourselves entirely. To avoid drifting, we have to pay closer attention to the things that we first heard. We have to get back that first relationship that we had with God and His Word. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Drifting is such a gradual thing. Whether you're talking about the mind suffering from a disease, you're talking about being in a boat on the river with the anchor up, the motor's not on, you think, you know, you're in the same place, and you look up and all of a sudden you're a half a mile from the shore. You don't realize how you're moving. We need to pay strict attention to the first things that we've heard spiritually. Get back into the Word of God. Encourage one another daily. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need this sort of encouragement from one another. Somebody to call us down and say, hey, you're moving away from, you didn't used to believe that. Hey, you used to know that. You used to not let yourself do that. We need one another to help us keep from drifting mentally, spiritually. Another symptom of spiritual Alzheimer's disease is losing an awareness of personal relationships. And I want you to go back to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. There are a number of examples in this little book of the Old Testament where Israel sort of had a spiritual Alzheimer's disease, and it's pointed out by the Lord. For instance, you find in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 13 that Israel forgot who her husband was. The text says, "I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot," says the Lord. Here she is, espoused to the Lord, but she goes after Baals. I don't know if you realize this. The word Baal, we commonly just think of it as the name of some obscure god of the Old Testament that the Israelites fell into worshiping. But the word Baal actually means master or husband. And when the Israelites went after these idolatrous gods, they were rejecting the Lord as their master and husband. And they were going after others. "They forgot God," he says. "You've forgotten me." I read a story not long ago of a man that stopped for gas in Montgomery, Alabama. And he filled up his car with gas, got in the car, drove 5 hours before he noticed that his wife wasn't in the car with him. And it was, I'm sure, quite embarrassing to him. But here you forget, here's your spouse, the one that, you know, you're going to go till death do us part with. And you get all the way down the road and you forget them. Well, spiritually, how can we forget our God? Not only did Israel forget the Lord as God, she also forgot Him as the one who is the shepherd and provider. In Hosea chapter 13 and verse 6, Hosea said, "When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me." This past week, as I said, a lot of us celebrated what we call Thanksgiving and enjoyed a big meal with our families and probably watched too much football and all that sort of thing. And did you remember to count your blessings? Did you remember to thank your God? Where all of that is coming from? See, Israel was enjoying this really great pasture and all of this wonderful stuff, but they were forgetting who gave it to them. We in this prosperous land, it's awful to me to really think about it, but as a nation, once a year we have a day of Thanksgiving. We should have a day of Thanksgiving as a nation once a week. As Christians, we should have it every day. We should abound in Thanksgiving all the time. And not forget the one who's provided all of this for us. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus chastises His disciples and He warns them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees in Mark chapter 8 and verse 15. In verse 16, they reason among themselves. They didn't know what He meant, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they say, "Is it because we have no bread?" Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said to Him, 12. "And also when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. And He said to them, "How is it that you do not understand?" Now He goes on in this context, and you know the problem is that they're not being aware of the teaching of the Pharisees. That's what He's trying to warn them about. They're carnally minded. They're thinking, well, is He saying, "You've forgotten to get bread?" And Jesus is basically saying, how soon we forget. Weren't you guys with me? Weren't you with me when I fed the 5,000 and there were 12 baskets left over? And weren't you with me when I fed the 4,000 and there were 7 baskets left over? Do you really think I'm worried about us not having bread? How soon we forget that God is the provider of all. And I'm satisfied that while the disciples were with Jesus Christ, they didn't have to worry about any physical provision. We need to remember that we're with our Heavenly Father day by day in our lives, that we are following Jesus Christ, and that our provisions come from Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Forget not all His benefits. He forgives our iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How can we forget all that God is doing for us? But we do. We go through day after day, and sometimes, unfortunately, week after week, without really thanking God for who He is and what He's provided for us. Israel forgot her husband. She forgot her provider. And thirdly, she forgot her maker. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 14, the text says that Israel has forgotten his maker and has built temples. Judah also has multiplied fortified cities. But I will send fire upon his cities and it shall devour his palaces. Israel had forgotten the very one who created her. How can this be? Psalm 95 verses 6 and 7. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. We talked last Sunday morning in the lesson about the greatness of God and how awesomely powerful and wonderful He is, and how that greatness of God deserves our worship. He being our Creator and Maker and Sustainer. He deserves our respect, our worship, our awe. That's basically what this is saying to us here as well. But we forget that. We forget how great God is. We forget that we need to be in worship. And we need to dedicate ourselves to serving Him and loving Him and showing that, not only in public worship, but in our private lives. We forget our Maker. And then sometimes people forget or confuse the facts. Israel, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, purposely rejected the knowledge of God's will. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. As I said, both my parents both have had Alzheimer's. They would forget, have forgotten so much that they once knew in the way of day to day, the way of memories. They've forgotten the facts. My mother, many of you know her, she used to attend here. You're one of these people who could just virtually work a crossword puzzle with their eyes closed. And it's just, you know, it was so depressing to see how smart she was, how many facts she knew. She never got on Jeopardy, but I always thought if she did, she'd make $1 million. Because she just knew all these facts about everything. And she could just work crossword puzzles. And right now, you could ask her the simplest question of any crossword puzzle that you could find, and she couldn't tell you. Not one fact. Not one fact. I know Christians who at one time knew the truth about things, knew why you needed to be baptized for the remission of your sins, knew why it is that we don't use an instrument, for instance, in the worship when we praise God. Knew all sorts of very clear biblical facts and truths and applied them practically. I have friends who are close to me, have been close in years past, who can't tell you anymore why you need to be baptized. Who can't tell you anymore that Jesus is coming again. Didn't just come in 70 AD, but is coming again. Can't tell you that. They've forgotten facts that they once knew. We must remember God's truth. We must look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. And there's one of the critical points. If we want to remember spiritual things, we have to do them. We have to practice them day by day in our lives. We remember by doing. We remember by determining to remember. By making up our minds that that's what we're going to do. By working at it. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 119 as he talks about remembering the Word of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 16, he says, I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your Word. In verse 83, he says, I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. I will never forget your precepts, verse 93, for by them you have given me life. Verse 109, my life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Verse 143, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. And verse 176 of Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. See, he was determined, whatever was happening in his life, and he described a number of different things, afflictions, wineskin and smoke, all sorts of things going on in his life. And he says, whatever it is that's happening, I'm not going to forget your law. Even if I start to wander away as a lost sheep, I'm not forgetting your law. I'm going to remember, so bring me back. Let's remember by choosing to remember, by putting into practice, by focusing on God's Word. You can't remember if you don't keep it fresh. Have you ever learned something, maybe in a course in school or taken Spanish, for instance, or something like that? I took Spanish in high school. I took French in high school. I don't think I could say two sentences in either language. Just haven't used it very much. You probably have things like that in your life where you actually maybe went through some training to learn something. But you couldn't do that now because you haven't used it for years. God's Word, we need to use it. We need to focus on it. We need to review. Are we doing that? People with Alzheimer's disease spiritually have problems with language. They can forget simple words. Sometimes they substitute inappropriate words. They make their sentences incomprehensible. They're unable to communicate reality. Well, spiritually, there are a lot of folks that are like that spiritually, where they don't speak the language of God's people anymore. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 and 24. Nehemiah says that in those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one of the other people. So it is in the Lord's church. Sometimes we forget biblical language, the way to describe things in a Bible way, in a scriptural way. And so I have known Christians who, instead of calling the preacher, they call him the pastor. You know, they forget the Bible language. Of course, a pastor is a wonderful Bible term for one who is an elder or a bishop. But it doesn't apply to one who is merely doing the work of a preacher. Or they use the word fellowship to describe almost exclusively eating and games. And that's what fellowship is. Well, that's not a biblical way to describe the spiritual fellowship, at least, that we have in Christ with one another. So the language becomes a problem as the language from Scripture gets mixed with the language of human religions and denominations. And everything becomes convoluted and mixed up in the way that we talk about things. And also, we don't communicate as well as we should when we're talking to the lost. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, We're told to let our speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer each one, to talk to people about spiritual things in a wise way. Sometimes we just totally forget how to do that because we haven't put our minds to it and practiced it. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Paul says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Sometimes Christians forget that, and they'll use words that are corrupt, and they'll say what we might call dirty words or profane words in their day-to-day conversation. Their language is messed up. They've forgotten how they're supposed to speak. Just words of edification and purity. And lastly, as we think about the symptoms of spiritual Alzheimer's disease, sometimes we just forget who we are. When physical Alzheimer's finally takes a person's mind, they can't tell you who they are anymore. They don't even know their name. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, Peter says that he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he's cleansed from his old sins. I believe I've known people who've forgotten that they were Christians, forgotten that they were once washed white in the blood of the Lamb, forgotten what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that they're identified by their relationship with Him. This morning, I know the lesson's just been sort of an extended metaphor and illustration. I hope that it's one, though, that you can think about in your life and realize you don't want to forget. You don't want to forget God's Word, His goodness to you, your relationship with Him, the language that you're supposed to be using as a child of His, how you're to be communicating His love instead of the wisdom of the world. As we close this morning, there's one passage I want to leave you with. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, where Moses concludes a sermon in which he's trying to get the Israelites to remember to keep the covenant. And he says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord, your God, by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes." That's what I'm saying to you this morning. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Are you keeping His commandments in your life today? Are you in tune with His Word? Are you saying things that are pleasing to Him in your life when you communicate with others? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. Are we drifting away slowly? As we looked at this morning, could you say, "Well, you know, I used to do better at that, but I've sort of drifted from that. I'm sort of losing my connection there." Look at your life. All of us. Let's look at our lives. Is God pleased with where you are before Him right now? And if not, let's make correction. Let's get back to where we remember who we are and who our God is and serve Him with love and fervency. If you're anyway subject to the invitation, if you'd be willing to confess a fault that is alive in your life that you need to get rid of, or perhaps you need to obey the gospel this morning, we'd ask you to come while we stand, while we sing the song selected.